whenever golf is on, it's like, you know, you could talk golf for hours.
That's all of us. I love that.
It's kind of what I... I'm going to slide this chair.
I'll slide this over to you, actually, if you don't mind. And if you want to get cozy, whatever you got.
Yeah, no, this is... I'm a leaner, so let's do that.
I'm rolling here. How you sound, Alfonso?
I don't know.
You don't want headphones, do you?
No.
A lot of people don't like headphones. I don't know.
I mean,
why.
I don't need them because we're right here.
Is it funny that I'm also the technician?
You're like, and I'm...
I kind of like it.
Well, you got to make sure it sounds right.
And it's kind of like an extra level of stress that makes me feel like MacGyver. You know?
Like for me, I just want to...
You just want to talk.
We're going to talk.
Jake,
okay, I don't know that person. Anyway, welcome to the Eric Anders Lang Show. We're coming in pretty hot, this start here.
Right in.
Guest today, Alfonso. For a long time, I thought your name was Alfonso Ribeiro.
Ribeiro.
It's Ribeiro.
Yeah.
And simple. I was totally shocked. And I was how did I get that wrong?
The funny thing is my baby, my youngest son, is Anders.
I knew this.
We talked about this a while back. But yeah, it's Anders.
Right. What a great name. Let's just get that out of the way.
It's a good name.
Are you saying I need to name my firstborn Alfonso?
I'm not saying it, but I would be appreciative if it happened.
It's reciprocity. Okay. It's if I play golf with you at your club,
you have me and we work it out on yours, right?
You pay the dues the next time.
Yeah.
Let's get right into that. Family, yeah. you play golf with your son's getting into golf.
Yes.
How old is he, 6'5"?
No, just turned 5.
Okay.
And so we played our first full 18 when he was 4. Like he was like 4 and 3 months.
Okay.
And we played our first 18 holes. And I mean, let's call it what it is. We both hit our tee shots. We pick up his, drop it.
Right.
He hits it again. I hit mine.
Right.
We pick it up. We go to the green, drop it. Let him chip if he wants to. Let him putt if he wants to. And just kind of make it fun. At this point, it's like for a kid, all you can do is mess this up.
Right.
So get out of the way of it. Like as long as it's fun and he's enjoying it, that's all I care.
So you're never like, if he's like, why is it doing that? You're like, I don't know.
I mean... He doesn't really care as long as he hits it.
Right.
That's all he cares about. If he tops it, so what?
What's the funniest thing he's done? Because I'm sure etiquette-wise, I played in a tournament the other day and someone didn't know what was going on. And they
I hate that.
It was weird.
Come on.
It was weird.
If you're going to go on a golf course, learn the rules.
Walking right in the line, and I was just like, I don't want to be a jerk, but...
But see, I always feel like... You're not actually being a jerk when you tell somebody what the rules are.
Right.
Right? Like, what's the right way of doing it?
How do you do it?
You can be a jerk saying it.
You're
not a jerk for saying it.
Right.
Right? Like, how you say anything is how you determine what the outcome is. Right?
Sure. Okay.
So, for me, if I'm going to tell somebody, I'd be like, come here. I'm like, you know, I don't want to embarrass, but if you walk where someone's supposed to putt, that's not allowed. So just make sure that you just kind of figure out where everybody is and just don't walk on the line, all right?
Whoa, I think that's you taught me a lot right there. Because I feel like I would say it and I would probably, I feel like I'm pretty smart, but I feel like I would still somehow not make them feel okay about what I'm telling them.
It's just, it's the reality, right? So how do you piss someone off? How do you embarrass them?
Right.
Right? You embarrass them by making their faults public.
Right.
Known by everybody.
Oh, keep it secret.
Right? So by pulling them over to the side, you're doing them a favor. You're making it that they're not the one in the group that everybody's like, ugh.
Right.
I ain't playing with that dude again.
Yeah, you're almost like, hey, I want to share something with
you. Yeah, I'm going to give you a little bit of insight so that the next time, you're going to be able to, be a better part of this foursome.
Right. So you got AJ, right?
AJ,
he's out there with you.
Yeah.
And then you got your wife out.
My wife, absolutely. I'm like her coach.
That's awesome.
Which is, most people are like, dude, you're out of your mind doing that.
I don't get that.
Well, I think let's just keep it real. I think everybody who says that, they just have a bad relationship. calling it what it is, right?
Because I'm like my honeymoon. I want to play golf.
I want to be able to go to the places that I want to go play, and have the person that I want to hang out with the most be there with me.
Right.
Right? Like, exactly. Guys who are like, yo, dude, I just want to get away from the wife. Then why are you married, dude? Like, why are you doing this? Like, right. What made you, like, I've always felt like, you know, no one forces you to be with somebody.
Mm.
Right? Like, this is your choices in life. You right. get to choose who you're with.
Right.
The only people you don't get to choose is your actual bloodline family coming into it.
And
right?
You can sort of choose again with them.
You can choose to not hang with them, right? But you can't right. choose them as your family.
Right.
But, you get to choose. This is the one person you get to choose.
Right.
If you're choosing someone you don't want to hang out with, then don't hang out with them and get out of it.
So, dude, when you were young, did you ever think you'd be the voice of the PGA Tour or the Champions Tour?
Not even. By the way, 2 weeks before they asked me, I wouldn't have thought.
I mean, how cool is
that? Would I be, the voice or the face in some form? Like, to be an ambassador for the PGA Tour Champions is kind of crazy.
It's so cool, dude.
But it's really cool because these are guys that I enjoyed when I first started playing golf, right? Like,
right.
when I picked up the game, it wasn't the people who came after.
No.
That I was interested in. I was interested in the guys who were already out there playing and winning and
right.
and the legends of the game, right?
Yeah.
So I get to go to these tournaments now, and I get to play with them and hang out with them and share.
God.
Like, I have their numbers, and I will call them and hang out and talk. Like, this is, like it's really cool. I went and played at the Invesco QQQ.
Yeah, yeah. Sherwood.
This week at Sherwood, and, like, I played with Miguel Angel Jimenez.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's a big one, dude. That's a big bucket list for me.
That was a very, very cool day.
Yeah.
Right? Like, first, he is the most interesting man in the world, right? He's one of the coolest dudes on the planet. But, he's actually given me tips on the golf course
before this.
We've talked, like, when I went over and played in the Omega Masters, and he happened to be over, like, he was doing his European tour stuff,
right.
And so he was playing over there then, and we hung out a little then, and to be able to play with him, and it's like, I do like this impression of him that I really love.
I gotta hear it.
It's like, the first day I met him, we shot a commercial for the tour. And afterwards, I was going to play in the pro-am, so I was, like, practicing on the putting green. And we're in Houston, so there's a lot of grain. And he goes, Alfonso, come here. He goes, listen. The grain. I want to teach you the grain. See, if it's into the grain, it's dark. If it's down grain, it's shiny. Shiny, down, dark, into the grain. Slow, fast. Fast down the hill. Fast, even uphill, if it's shining, it's fast. Now, you go to the side, and you see if the grain is going the other way. Which way is it going? Is it going left? Is it going right? That means it's going to break a little more to the left or break a little more to the right. So, into the grain, slow. Down grain, fast. And I was like, that was awesome!
Dude, that's crazy.
I was like, that was very cool. That was very cool.
Did you actually know that tip? Or
yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did, but it was still really cool. Because, like, it was him saying it.
I actually know that tip, but I feel like I just learned it again for the first time.
Right, well, you forget. We out here in California.
But I learned it the right way, I'm saying.
We don't play grain. Like, we don't have grain. We have Poana greens. Like,
yeah.
You very rarely have deep grain in or down.
Right.
So you're kind of always just playing, like, if you play Poana greens, in the afternoon, it's going to be bumpy. You got to hit it a little harder.
Right.
You play in the morning, you're going to have a pure roll.
Yeah.
But we don't play with grain. We know it. Like, I've never actually looked at the shiny.
No.
I go to the cup.
Yeah, and, like,
right?
Which,
we've learned that.
Watch the way the grass is kind of.
Right. So,
yeah.
Like, which edge, the edge of the cup, which edge is sharp, and which edge is
kind of
beat up a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, the beat up is the direction the grain is going.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that drives me crazy.
Right. But I'm like, I ain't going to go to the cup every time to look at the grain. Like,
I don't have time for that.
I'm trying to play fast.
I'm Alfonso.
You know what I mean? I'm moving.
Right.
I'm out there moving, baby.
Right.
So that was, hearing it that way was actually very cool because it's like you really, like, you can just kind of walk up to the green.
Yeah.
And have a perspective as to whether your ball is down grain or into the grain.
I have a quick mechanic story.
Okay.
So we were at Wentworth, and my job was to go in and do interviews with tour players. That's mostly my job. And
it's a pretty cool job.
It's a cool job. Like like you, I never would have guessed.
Right.
I feel like totally random. But every minute, I'm like, this is amazing. The hardest part of my job, though, is by far being tasked with needing to get interviews from players while they're working.
Right.
Like, it would be like if you're, like, literally about to do a take.
And
then I'm like, Alfonso, can I get a second with you? You're like, dude, I'm actually working.
Right.
Like, right now.
Right.
But for some reason, that's the job I'm in. And, you know, it's kind of like Captain Kurtz in Apocalypse Now. Like, no one knows my mission, but I'm there. And anyway, I go up to, Miguel, and I'm like, you know, I'm obviously, you're a hero of mine. Can I just ask you three quick questions? I work for the PGA Tour. And he, like, looks me literally up and down, doesn't say anything, and then he goes, no, I need me time. And then he just walked away from me. And I was like, honestly, I feel totally seen.
Yeah.
And I totally respect his needs.
Yeah. I mean, look, there is the other side, right? Like, we all forget that they're all kind of superstitious.
Yeah. Oh,
right?
Crazy.
And they have rituals. They have a way in which they do it every day.
Right.
Right. They wake up at a certain time. They eat certain foods. They show up at a certain time before their tea time.
Right.
And they are mapped out. They're, you know, he does his stretches. He does, right? Like, by the time he gets to the first tee, he's accomplished 25 things that he does every time. So now, all of a sudden, those three questions, as little as it might be, the 3 or 4 minutes that it might take, just kind of gets them off of their routine.
I agree.
You don't want to get to the first tee and be like, and hit a shot into the woods and be like, I shouldn't have done that interview.
Right.
And so, you don't want to be that interview that the guy actually did it with.
I think I'm going to quit my job. I feel like I need to resign.
No, I always say this. The key to it is, can you do it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
That's the ideal.
Right? Like, yeah. You know, I play in a bunch of different tournaments, right? So yeah. I play, obviously.
You're always playing in a tournament.
I love it. But the celebrity stuff is very different than when you play with the tours.
Right.
Right? With the celebrity stuff, there's very little stuff going on Monday through Thursday.
Right.
Right? And then you get to Friday, and it's like, not only do you have golf, but you have all of the nighttime events that you are expected to show up
at. Yeah, it's rude if you don't go.
No, it's like, you may not get invited again.
You straight up have to.
If you don't go.
Right.
Right? So your weekend, when you're actually playing golf, is when you're the most busiest. Then you go play the AT&T or the BMW or Pure First Tee or whatever, and it's like you have all these parties Monday through Thursday.
Right.
And then you get to Friday, because obviously it's a three-day deal for the Champions Tour, or Thursday when you're doing the AT&T, and now you have nothing planned for every night.
Right.
So now it's like, now it's about golf.
Right.
And it's like, duh. Right? Like, you get it. Like, it's about golf. It's not about the parties. The parties are in the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a very different world, but I appreciate it when I go to the PGA or Champions or whatever, or the BMW web.com. When I go to those events, I'm always like, yeah. Because now it's like I can literally dive into the golf and just focus.
Right. Dude, I'm like, I have like so many things I want to ask you. first of all, are you going to be able to fix the AC? Like, what's going on with that? Just go in. We're in our friend David's office.
Yes. Really our friend. It literally is our friend.
Yeah. Dude, so I couldn't find how you got into golf. And from what I can tell, you were 18.
Mm-hmm.
You, I think, were either just about to start or had just started, the breakout role in Fresh Prince.
Right.
It
was before the breakout role. So
it was before that.
Yeah, it was that same year, but it was before it. And
where are you living?
I'm living out here in California.
Okay, so you moved out from Manhattan.
I was in the Bronx. But I was out here. I'd already been out here for a while. I did Silver Spoons and some other stuff. But a bunch of buddies. Bunch of guys, good bros, were like, yo, let's go to the driving range.
No way.
What's the driving range? We're going to go play golf. What's golf?
Right.
I had no clue.
Because you grew up in the city.
Yeah, I mean, it was no golf.
Yeah. What did your parents do, by the way?
You know, my dad was a correctional officer.
No shit.
Sing Sing.
Sing Sing.
Yeah, which is the, you know,
yeah.
major penitentiary upstate New York.
Yeah, I drove by. I grew up in New Jersey. So,
so you know,
yeah,
absolutely. And my mom was a director of nursing at a nursing home.
My mom's a nurse.
My
dad didn't work in a jail, but you drove past. But I almost went to one.
Let's hope you don't. But
so cool.
They were just like, let's go do it. And we went to the Studio City driving range right here, Whitsitt, as we call it.
Yeah.
got some balls. My buddies had some clubs. And of course, like, you know, anybody who's starting, you start out with the driver.
Right.
Yeah. Because yeah. You don't know any better. Possible. Right. You're going to hit the driver.
No, time out. So when you're starting at this time, this is like, what year is this? Like,
this
late
is
80s
like
or early?
89, 80, 90. Okay. So it is right late. In there.
And do you have a preconceived notion about golf?
No idea.
You just have nothing. You don't love or hate.
Nope.
You just have no idea.
Nothing. It was like, let's go do something new.
Okay.
Okay, let's try it.
Okay.
I teed the first one in the ground, right, on the little tee that they have, you know, on the little plastic thing. And I pull out the driver, and I hit it dead center range right over the fence.
Oh, wow. You're the chosen one.
Everybody was like, what? Do it again.
Right.
Dead center.
No.
Straight over the fence.
No.
Do it again. Pop it down. Dead center, straight over the fence. First three shots ever swinging the club was perfect 280-yard drive.
You know, because that's a very tall fence.
Right, but I'm blasting it over
just
the
straight
fence.
Over it.
Straight over the fence. My balls ended up into par three.
Yeah.
Right?
That's awesome.
I didn't hit one near the center of that fence for a year after. Okay. Dead right.
Did you have a good swing in the beginning?
I didn't have a good swing. I just simply played baseball as a kid.
Right.
And great hand-eye coordination. No idea why or how or what I was doing. My boys was like, just hold it like this. All right. And right. Just swung. I swung as hard as I could. And I caught it dead center of the face with what seemed like a really good swing.
Right.
And my boys were like, you are bulling.
Yeah, yeah, I can't believe that.
Bull S. You know you hit.
Because what are they like?
You know you've played this before. I was like, I've never swung before. I have no clue what I'm doing.
They wouldn't even believe you.
No, they wouldn't believe. Well, they did at the end of the night because I didn't hit one.
Because they're like
again,
medium
well.
Golf. They're like 10.
Right, no, they were like 25 handicaps.
Do you still play with these guys?
Some of them I see every
that's
once
great.
In a while. One of them I see every once in a while, and we get out and play every once in a while.
Do you think of him like your Eskimo? Because
it was him.
It was him.
Yeah. My buddy Mike Socia.
Mike Socia.
Yep. He was a writer on Fresh Prince.
No shit.
He works with Kevin James now.
Oh, cool.
He's done all his shows. Fantastic writer, young guy. Now, I guess we're known. None of us are young anymore. But
shout out to Mike Socia.
Yeah, yeah.
For getting you into golf.
He got me into golf.
Because, I mean, I think from what I can tell, you believe that golf has given you more than you could ever put back into it or something?
There's no way that I could ever repay the game for what it's given me. It'd be impossible. Like, the love, the joy, the passion, you know, career-wise, what it's given me. You know, I think that, you know, as we dive into this more, what golf gave me was purpose when I wasn't working. So after Fresh Prince and in the house, and I'm directing a little bit, but things are not what I wanted them to be, going to the golf course for me was everything. Like, it gave me a secondary purpose waking up, right? You wake up, you got your family, you got your job. Most people, unfortunately, it's all their job, right? They wake up to go to work, you know, and they kind of spend some time with their family in between. Golf gave me that separator, that ability to like, okay, I'm going to go work on this today. I'm going to go be better at something. I'm going to go work hard and continue because I can't, you know, and I've said this before in different interviews, imagine for a second you were so good at doing a job that the world told you you couldn't do it again. That's getting typecast as Carl.
Whoa.
Right? So I was so good at it, made people believe that that's who I was, that they would no longer let me work.
Whoa.
So I had to find something that I could be passionate about, that I could spend time working on and allow that creativity that I was no longer allowed to have go somewhere. And originally it was car racing. And then I had my daughter and I gave up racing cars and I became, you know, just a fanatic with golf. And so it played a really important part of my life during years that were difficult.
Yeah. That sounds really hard. Andrew, can you give me that question from the phone? We'll get to that in a second. But you, you know, I'm curious to hear about, you know, I'm well, first of all, let's ask this question.
Okay.
You brought it up, like this sort of career difficulty, which mm-hmm. I would never have thought about, and I for some reason I didn't find it in my research, but that's so interesting to hear. Because I would imagine, like, I did hear you talking about, like, people coming to you and be like, hey, dance.
Right.
Like, I would literally be like, hang on, let me load my gun. I would love to dance for you.
Yeah.
You dance first. But this is my friend Benny sent this question in. For those of us on the other side of the TV screen, right. Fame looks super fun and easy. I doubt that it is. What are the things you wish people understood more about being a famous personality?
I think that people have this idea that it's all positive. Mm. That, like, everything about having people like you or, you know, wanting to talk to you or wanting to take pictures with you is all positive.
Mm-hmm.
There are some wonderful aspects of that, right? But it ain't all positive. When you go and you want to have dinner with your wife and some fan is super excited, and you kind of almost have this obligation
yeah.
to acknowledge them and give them what they want of you, to want to just be with your wife and have dinner and have a lovely meal somewhere is no longer acceptable. You are an a-hole if you don't give them what they want out of you.
Right.
Right. So the fans' expectation of you is something you can never live up to. You are constantly letting people down.
That's got to be hard.
To simply have moments of your own. Because everybody wants of you more than what you're willing to give. So I had a situation where I was just working in London. And they were like, oh, you know, we want you to come in and we're going to play the Tom Jones song. And I went, no. Yeah. And let me tell you why. I am not going to do it full out. You're thinking that it's going to be this wonderful moment for the fans, and the fans are actually going to be disappointed because I'm not going to give them their own expectation of me.
Whoa.
And if you don't give them their expectation, you've let them down, you've defeated the purpose.
Hmm.
So the hardest part is simply the positive and the negative. It's the fans.
Right.
Great fans are great.
Yeah.
But they're not all great fans. Not everybody gets it, and not everybody's willing to simply walk up to you and say, dude, I love you, and keep it moving.
That's the best one, right?
There's nobody better.
Baller, I'm out.
Dude, keep it moving. Like, you look to that dude or girl, and you're like, love you.
Thank you.
Number love for you.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't want it to ever sound wrong. Like, it's always like I'm super appreciative of what I have been able to do with a fan base that loves you,
right?
Right? But you can never give them enough.
Yeah,
it's impossible.
Yeah.
So the hardest thing to me is the constant feeling that you're letting people down by not giving them what they expect of you.
And that's got to be so tough, because when I look at you and when I've seen you around and we've spent some time together, mm-hmm. I can tell you don't want to let people down.
I don't. I do.
You don't. You need
I
to.
Will.
You need to. You have to, or you'll go crazy.
I mean, it is what it
you'll
is.
You'll turn into a crazy
but
person.
But I do want to acknowledge their feelings, right? Like, I remember, you know, people who I adored in my life, and not all of them were great.
Hmm.
Not all of them
in reality.
Shit, in my own reality, right? Like, not all of them were, you know, wonderful to me.
Right.
As I felt something for them, and I know the feeling on the other side.
Right.
Right. But that also is what gave me the perspective. I was like, wow, that person just let me down. But wait a minute, Al. What did they do differently than what you do?
Whoa.
Like, they did exactly what you do. So, right. Who's wrong here?
Yeah.
Are they wrong? Or is my expectation of what I wanted from that person wrong?
Yeah.
So that gave me the ability to kind of just be on the other side for a second and go, wow, yeah, that sucked. But I get it.
Yeah. Learning.
Got it. Like, it is what it is.
I want to take a quick break, and then I'm just going to do a quick ad, but I want to show you something on my computer that I found that had us all cracking up when we found it.
Okay.
And I think you're going to dig it. So just hang on one sec. All right, Precision Pro, everybody. A lot of you slip into the DMs over there, and you ask me what the best rangefinder is. The answer is, it's the Precision Pro. Now, I used to say it was the NX7, but not anymore. Precision Pro Golf is the makers of award-winning golf rangefinders. Literally award-winning, folks. Do not get the words twisted, okay? They save golfer strokes on the course and save dollars in the wallets. Because the truth is, the dollars should stay in the wallets. Well, I guess they're supposed to leave the wallet, but the point is you want them to leave as slowly as possible. So the point is, Precision Pro is excited to announce the all-new NX9. We didn't even mess with the NX8. We went straight to the 9. NX9 HD rangefinder, skipped the 8, straight over to the 9. I went from par to eagle like that, okay? Anyway, it's their most advanced rangefinder ever with a wider and brighter display. I love things that are wider and brighter. It's an iPhone screen, whatever you want to call it, projector. I don't know, fairways. Just give me something that's wider and brighter. It delivers incredibly fast measurements. I can say from personal experience, that is true. There's also a built-in magnet. Oh, I love magnets too. That allows golfers to securely attach the NX9 to the cart or even an iron, so that the rangefinder is always within reach for every single swing. You can pick up the all-new NX9 HD rangefinder for $20 off. All you got to do is use the promo code ERIK, that's E-R-I-K, on the website precisionprogolf.com. The NX9 HD comes with a lifetime battery replacement. Whoa! I need lifetime battery replacement. How annoying is it when you show up and your rangefinder's dead? Well, this one never dies, okay? It's like Liam Neeson in this bitch. Sorry, I didn't mean to curse. But anyway... The NX9 comes with a HD lifetime battery replacement services and I'm going to start over. The NX9 HD comes with a lifetime battery services battery replacement services and a 2-year warranty. 2 years. You're not even going to live that long. This rangefinder is going to outlive you on all scales. Anyway, it's the NX9 and it's all part of the industry leading customer service that Precision Pro Golf delivers to every customer. I have never heard a bad word about Precision Pro since I've been recommending it personally. So you heard it here first, folks. Get your $20 off the NX9 HD or any Precision Pro rangefinder that's great. Coupon code ERIK, E-R-I-K, at precisionprogolf.com. Last words, y'all. Swing with confidence. Hit more greens with Precision Pro Golf. All right. One more read, folks. Adidas. Over 5 million pieces of plastic are floating in our oceans, which... over time, get broken down, making it easy for sea life to ingest, ultimately affecting our own food chain. So it is your problem. It's not just a world problem. It's you. It affects you. Adidas is working with Parley to prevent plastic entering our oceans and transform it into high-performance sportswear. Shoes is coming soon. Just hold on. Hold your hats, folks. I'm not even done with the ad. Stop trying to figure out what I'm going to say. Adidas is spinning the problem into what? A solution. The thread into a thread. I don't know what that means. It's written here. It says the thread into a thread. I don't know who wrote this. Adidas Golf is bringing eco-innovation to the golf course in the form of a special edition shoe. All right, this is legit, actually. This is the first time the Parley shoe has been a golf shoe. I've had it in... form of a running shoe. I mean, look, it's a sick shoe that serves a purpose, okay? That's where you get it. The Tour 360 XT Parley, the first ever golf shoe. Oh, look, they already wrote it for me. The first ever golf shoe made from recycled. Oh, no, it's not called recycled. It's called upcycled. I don't know what that is. I feel like I should probably Google that. Upcycled plastic waste that was intercepted like Jason Bourne from the beaches and coastal communities before reaching the ocean. Dang, I didn't realize this is Jason Bourne's golf shoe. Intercepted. I mean, I'm a golf guy, but I also love football. Who doesn't love a classic interception, especially when it's Jason Bourne saving planet Earth? Entire upper of the shoe is made with threads spun. It's also a DJ. Amazing. From the upcycled plastic waste. My phone's ringing. It's Andrew Marler. Hang on. All right. Well, that was a 20-minute phone call, but you have no idea. It just went by like that.
Anyway, the Tour 360 XT Parlay, the first ever golf shoe made from upcycled plastic. I already read this because it's got the intercepted line. Intercepted from beaches and coastal communities in a world before reaching the ocean. The entire upper of the shoe is made from thread spun from upcycled plastic waste. Built as the Tour 360 XT, you still get great traction and stability. I feel like, what's that line from Taken? I have a certain set of skills. They will take you. Available starting June 10th at adidas.com, and for those headed to the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, a select number of pairs will be sold on site. Get into it, folks. All right, back to the show.
All right, we're back. So I was like, this just cracked me up. Like, okay. I loved seeing that.
What's coming?
Are we about to look at? Well, I mean, obviously you're a dancer.
Well, I can dance.
You can dance, but you're not a dancer.
No.
Wait, so before I show you, have you seen what I'm about to show you?
I ended up looking at the words.
You did see
the title? I saw the title.
All right, he knows. What I'm about to show you. What
I'm about to show you. Michael Jackson Pepsi commercial.
Do you want to see it?
I mean,
when was the last time you saw this?
1984. I think I saw it about a month ago.
You really did?
Yeah. Somebody, I was playing in a golf tournament. And
somebody did the same thing I did.
They kind of walked up and were like, dude, that's you. I was like, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. You don't need to see it then. But what made me crack up was, this is before you started playing golf.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got hella moves. And in this commercial, you moonwalk into Michael Jackson.
Right. Yeah.
Which is like, have more than one person ever done that? I don't think so.
I think I've got that one locked down. I think I was the only person that moonwalked into Michael Jackson.
And by the way, I don't know, you're 13 at the time?
I was 12.
12?
Yeah.
Perfect. I mean, 10 out of 10 moonwalk.
Here's the crazy thing, and this is why I say I'm not a dancer. I'm a mimic.
Oh, okay.
Okay. A dancer is someone who learns to do the moves and fully learns how or the technique and what they're actually doing. I'm a mimic. Just show me what it looks like.
Wow.
And then I'll do it, right? The interesting part is, and I've said this on different interviews, but I do all of my Michael Jackson moves backwards.
I don't understand.
Michael was my mirror.
Oh, wow.
So Michael's leg, he's using his right leg and I'm using my left leg. And vice versa, right?
Right,
so everything I do the opposite side because I was using him as my mirror.
Yeah, but see, you're trying to like, I mean, you're amazing. Don't try to, you're a really, really incredible dancer.
Thank you. I will always say that I'm not a dancer because, I mean, I guess it's like saying, you know, just because you can sing, are you a singer?
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying.
Right. Well, like, but does it make you just because I can golf, right? Like, am I a golfer? Like, golf is a little different in that kind of we all are golfers.
Sure.
But realistically, like, if you're not doing it at that level, you're an amateur and you're kind of doing at golf, right? Pretty close.
Yeah.
But not it. Right.
So, I mean, I was going to ask you this separately before we even got into this conversation, but how would you describe yourself? Not to anybody else, but when you think of you, when you're thinking of yourself.
I'm an entertainer.
That's it. And so that can that can happen on the golf course, that can happen.
It happens everywhere in my life.
Right.
Right. My goal is to entertain people.
Yeah.
Sometimes that requires me singing. Sometimes that requires me dancing. Sometimes that requires me being funny and acting. Sometimes I'm hosting. Sometimes I'm just being silly on a golf course.
Right.
And by the way, all of the professional golfers, they're also entertainers. They're entertaining people with their golf.
Exactly.
Right? Hitting amazing shots. Yes, there's a sports aspect. Yes, there's a competition going on at the same time. But at the end of the day, anything that's on TV that people are watching is about entertainment.
Right.
Right? NBC doesn't just have a golf tournament and it's just the competition. It's about how do you entertain with this sport. And every one of those golfers, Tiger Woods is an entertainer.
Right.
He makes you feel something when he hits a ball. Justin Rose makes you feel something. Zach Johnson makes you feel something because you go, that's the guy who can't hit it as far, yet he can still go out there and win.
Right.
There's different ways of entertaining. I simply look at myself as an entertainer.
I love that. I say that when I'm playing bad golf.
Well, you entertaining somebody.
Colt's heard me say that. When I'm really playing bad, I'm like, look, I'm just here to entertain.
Yeah, I'm right? entertaining. I mean, we're going to make some jokes today.
Dude, I'm so inspired by that. What's in the bag? What do you got in the bag?
In the bag. I'm playing Ping.
And they send it to you for free, right? You're not paying for it.
So I used to be all Nike.
Okay.
And then when Nike stopped making clubs, I was like, well, who am I going to go with?
Yeah.
The weirdest part of it was the year that they stopped making clubs was the first year they really made great stuff.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? Like, it was yes!
Did you talk to a lot of players on tour about that?
Oh, like absolutely. Finau
and everybody, they're like stressed.
Everybody was like, well, what are we going to do?
Yeah, thanks.
I was on the range up at Pebble Beach with Stephen Ames. Mm. Stephen Ames still has the blue-headed...
the driver, right?
No, but the fairway wood.
The three wood, right?
The three wood. Right. So I was like, dude, really?
That's
he was like, yo, dude.
Doesn't Fleetwood?
Yeah, I think
I thought
so.
I saw Fleetwood have
he
that.
He might have had, the last one that was really, really good. It was a good club.
Yeah.
And they finished,
yeah.
Right? So... I looked at a bunch of different options. I looked at the Callaway, I looked at the TaylorMade. Part of it for me was I didn't want to just go find clubs. I wanted to build a relationship with a company. I was talking with PXG, and they were horrible to me. And
no
so
shit.
I was like, peace.
Good for you. Good for you. Is that hard to do business wise? Like, is that hard?
For me, not.
No.
Yeah, I mean,
not right
it's,
now.
It's about relationship.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I feel like I bring something very different to the table than what the average person brings or even the professional brings.
Sure.
Right? Like, what the professional brings is their play is going to determine how people view their clubs.
Yeah.
That's not me. I'm an amateur, right? A decent amateur. But you're going to see it.
Very decent.
You're going to see it in commercials.
You were a plus one?
I was a plus two at one point.
Plus two. Yeah. That's very, very, very good.
That was when I was really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I'm less good. So I felt like, you know, hey, I'm not asking for anything for free. Mm. I'm not asking. And I was like, I can buy clubs.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a relationship with a company that we can support each other, mm-hmm. and I can do things for them that in an area that wouldn't normally happen. Every commercial I do for the PGA Tour Champions, either my clubs or my bag or whatever is sitting there in one of the shots. And so you're going to, that's free advertisement for your company. So I don't want it for free. I just wanted a relationship, and the relationship didn't happen there. But then Ping called me and they could not have been better.
That's
they
cool.
have been, when I say over the moon, amazing, unbelievable. I mean, if I catch a rock, you know, pebble or something, and it chips the face of the club or whatever, it's like I got one in the mail within 2 days.
They like no, without even telling.
Well,
them.
Well, I call them, but they were like, listen, if there's anything,
right.
please call.
That's
like,
cool.
Like, we will send you the stuff. We want you to be happy. They gave my wife a set of clubs. They were like, if your kids want clubs, we'll get them, take care of them, too. I'm like, they're not ready for, like, big clubs, but eventually...
Are you going to get them some clubs, though? You should.
Absolutely. I mean, they have clubs, but they have, like, you know, kids' clubs.
Going back to the family thing, I wanted to go with that. Like accessibility in golf. Do you ever struggle with that? Like, you know, because, I mean, I think it's so cool that, you know, you're out there with your family and your kids. I know you probably play a lot of golf. I know probably you have a hard time scheduling golf with people that you really do want to play with.
Right.
How do you deal with some of this stuff? Because, you know, I mean, I was a member at Wilshire for 3 years.
Right.
I just canceled my membership.
Okay.
And it was a big deal for me because
right.
the last thing I needed to be was incentivized to play more golf when I'm in LA. Because I'm here 40 or 30% of the year.
Right.
What do I need? I can't need to play golf to bring down a one time. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
it just wasn't the right math for me. But anyway, now I'm excited to go play.
For me, like I said earlier, this is the extra thing that I get to be passionate about, right? Like, if I'm playing in a tournament, you'll see me at the practice area for 2-3 weeks before the tournament, like, gearing up on all of the areas of my game that I'm slacking. Like,
right.
You know, we have our Tahoe event every year up in you know, the American Century Championship. Oh, people are like, oh, that's right, it's summer.
Right.
Al is
out.
Al is getting his game
getting
tight
ready
before going up there. And, so it's passion to me. And now it is a business for me.
Sure.
Right? So there is a business side.
And that's been the last couple years.
Of this in the last few years.
Yeah.
So there is the other side of it for me. But this is about passion. Like there's no number that I wouldn't spend for golf.
Do you ever think about that? Like if you had all the money on one table of everything you've ever spent on golf?
Oh,
it's frightening.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's frightening.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot.
Right? Like,
and it's a lot
I'm
for
a
everybody.
Member of two clubs.
Wait, two? Lakeside and
Porter Valley Country Club.
Oh, okay.
But that's because I used to live in Toluca Lake. I moved up, you know, near right. Porter Valley. And my thing was, I want to be able to have a place
yeah.
that I can just literally run over and go hit balls and work on my game or whatever real quick.
Yeah.
And that happened to be the nearest golf course to my house. I was like, I'm joining.
Right.
You know, and it's, you know, I'll spend the money because, you know, what is happiness worth? Right? Like, there's no number.
No.
Right? There's no number that you say you would spend to be happy. What if you're in a relationship with, you know, for me, my wife, what would I spend to make her happy? There's no number.
Whoa.
There's no specific number that I would put on that. I want her to be happy. I want my wife to wake up every morning and feel blessed to be alive and in the world that we're living in. And individually, you know, people say it all the time. It's like that people spend more time making other people happy than they do themselves because they don't even know what makes them happy.
Right.
I know what makes me happy. Wow. Like, I've got such a leg up on the average person on this planet. Like, I know what makes me happy, and I know who makes me happy. Where's my problem?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, right now, it's like my back is out. I'm like, I'm unhappy because I can't go to the golf course.
So you're good enough to play golf and, you know, speaking of happiness, right? You're good enough to play golf and probably be dissatisfied with an 80 or whatever it is. Or 75. How do you deal with those?
Very unsatisfied with an 80.
Very unsatisfied. Very, very unsatisfied. I'd be very happy. You'll take nothing like it. How do you deal with those difficult days? Like how do you get yourself through?
Well, you know? I everything in life is a lesson, right? Every day there's something to learn, you know, to take you into the next day, right? Bad days are the best days to make you better.
So you use them as an opportunity.
Absolutely.
But in the moment, you got to get pissed.
Yeah. But I was funny. When I was up at Pebble, I was talking to Jerry Kelly and his
Great
wife
guy.
and his trainer were like, dude, like leave the table. Because I was telling him, I'm like, dude, you got to just get it out. Right? Like for me, I just got to get it out of my body. Like that pent up energy, just get it out. Rah! Now go hit your next shot.
Right.
Get it out. Let it go. Let it out and let it go and move on. Because any negative energy that you take into the next swing is going to have a negative outcome, even if you hit it well.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's impossible to separate the two.
You can't. So you got to get it out. And it's really, for me, that's the beauty of what of the game for me. That's the like just like okay, let it go. Let's move on. Let's think about the next shot. You know, I'm in my head. I'm kind of a maniac when it comes to this game. Like truly like way over the top analytical, you know, about it all. But that's my passion. That's why I got good. It's also why I've gone through five different golf swings.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Right? And, you know, I'm constantly in search of better. Right? Like, I used to be so mad at Tiger for changing his swing, and then I realized, hey, dummy, you kind of done the same thing. you were a plus two and changed your swing.
What? Hang on one second. So, why do people... I've actually done the same thing, though. When I had my best round ever... Then I literally call my swing coach immediately.
Right.
What is that?
That is the, I believe, the idea like, oh, I finally got it. Do I?
Right.
Right? Yeah. Like, you need someone to validate that it wasn't a fluke.
Right.
That's why you would call your guy, right? And what happens with me is I will be working on a swing thought, and I will call my guy and be like, this is what I'm working on. Is that good?
Right.
Like, right. Is it good? Yeah, it's good. It's working. Yeah.
You just played great. It's great.
It's working.
Yeah.
Why? Shut up.
Why do we do that?
Well, don't we all have a little bit of insecurity and we all want to, like, have someone validate what we're doing and that we're right and that we're kind of working on the right things? And am I going down a road that's going to make me really bad later? And I don't want to do that because I don't know that much. But we need that extra thought. Like, it's crazy to watch Tiger Woods without a coach.
It's frightening.
Because the extra set of eyes is what everybody has used from the beginning of this game to get better. And yet he's like, done with all that.
I'm the goat.
I know what it takes to hit a good golf ball, to make a good shot, and I'm not gonna be technical anymore. I'm just gonna go do it.
Right.
And since no one has ever played with a fused back, they can't tell me
what
works and what doesn't. Like, that's what he's
saying. Well, Stacey Lewis. Stacey Lewis. That's all.
But
you're right.
But
you're right.
For him, with his
no one's been Tiger Woods before.
No one's been Tiger Woods.
That's for sure.
And so the desire to get better. I mean, I was a plus two, and I changed my swing. But by the way,
You struggled for a while? I'm sure.
I struggled for a long time,
a year or two,
which was painful when you got to a plus two. But the reason was, I got to a plus two, and the first thought I had was, my body's not going to hold up.
Right. Well, you know, because that's the thing, is that a lot of times you get taught a swing that is not sustainable.
I was like, my body's not going to hold up.
Who's teaching you now?
A combination of...
Oh, boy.
Well,
he's got a cocktail.
Well, it's a cocktail only because the head pro at Lakeside,
sure,
Kevin Bailey, is always there to kind of, like, back it up. And you know, if I need eyes, like, immediately, he's the guy. But the other person is Drew Steckel, who works with Pat Perez, Jason Kokrak, Kevin Na, Ryan Moore, William McGirt, like a bunch of these guys.
A lot of interesting swings in there.
Yeah, and they're all very different, which is very interesting.
I love Kevin Na's swing.
Yes. His would be the swing that Drew Steckel would say, that's my swing. Mm. That's the one that I teach, right? But I will work with you on your swing.
Yeah, on your Ryan Moore.
Right, like he doesn't say, I need to complete, like, he's not Butch. He's not saying, this is my technique.
Yeah.
If, you know, Hank Haney, this is my technique, and you will have to unlearn everything you have ever learned in your golf swing for me to be your coach. He's not that guy. He's like, there are some basic fundamentals that need to happen.
Right.
The club needs to be here at this point in the swing. However you need to get it there is what you need to do to get it there. We're just going to do whatever it is to make sure it's there.
Right.
Like, and he's brilliant.
That's great.
When it comes to understanding the body and understanding new and different ways to get your brain to connect to the information. He will give you the same technical advice five different ways to get you to understand it. He's not just coaching the swing and the technique. He's coaching the brain. And he's coaching the understanding of language. If you don't understand how your brain works, if he doesn't understand how your brain works and how you get, you know, some people feel like they got to take the club out here, but they're actually taking it here, right? But it just feels that way.
Yeah.
So the understanding between what your perception is and the actual are completely two separate things, but one person has to be able to analyze them both and give you the information to fix it. That's what Drew is able to do.
Is this? I'm beginning to feel like a lot of people have different reasons for playing golf and different sort of favorite aspects of the game. Is for you one of the favorite aspects of the game sort of the construction of the golf swing itself?
Absolutely. It's interesting that you connected to that, because that's absolutely one of my loves of the game, which is why I would mess with it as a plus two, right?
Because
understanding it is as enjoyable as doing it.
Right, right.
Right. Me being able to teach my wife is, I understand it. Now, can I express it into her brain?
Right.
Which then sometimes is a mirror for me.
Whoa.
Because now, oh, you didn't understand it that way. Is that because I'm not saying it right, understanding it right, or I'm not delivering it in a way that you can understand it.
Right.
They're all working simultaneously and figuring out which one and how you're working it and understanding, you know, what's your body type. Every body type has a different proper swing for it, right? Like, yeah. If you're tall and lanky, the last thing you need to have is an arm swing.
Right.
You need to quiet those arms as much as possible because you're going to be all over the place.
You're making me want to hit the range so bad. Like, I literally just want to go. You know,
like, even putting.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me started.
Even with putting, right? Don't get me started. Everybody has a different putting technique.
I just went to Vegas for a putting competition.
Okay.
Anyway.
How'd you do?
We'll move past. 15th. 15th okay. Out of 70th.
That's good.
That's pretty good.
That's good.
20th, 25th. We slid down after we finished.
Things happen.
Things happen after we left.
But, like, putting
yeah.
is, you know, understanding speed and line and how to make that happen.
Yeah.
You know, how to get the club where you want it.
Do you like playing with a caddy?
I love playing with a caddy.
You prefer it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't always use them.
No. Right.
But I mean,
how many chances will you give your caddy to give you a read?
I kind of know the ones that I get reads from and the ones that okay. I don't.
But not at Lakeside. Like at Lakeside. I'm talking.
If
like,
I play somewhere else, I give them two shots.
Two pops.
You get two shots to read it right.
And then Al's like, I'm out.
From that point forward, I got this. Because here's the thing. 95% of the time, I'm better than the caddy.
Yeah, they don't know. I mean, no offense to any caddies listening to the podcast.
I'm just saying. 95% of the time.
Andrew Caddy's in Bel Air.
Okay, right. Yeah. So, but 95% of the time, I'm better. As a 2 handicap,
right?
Yeah. I'm going to be better than 95% of the caddies in the world.
Both playing, reading, course breakdown.
All of it.
Yeah.
All of it, right? But right. when I go to a different course and I'm using a caddy, what I'm using them for is their local knowledge.
Right.
What happens here differently than my eyes see?
Yeah, generally speaking.
Yeah. Right?
Don't give me the overall read.
Right, but like, A, at Pebble Beach, the first certain number of holes, first 10 holes, everything is going to the water.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of back to front greens.
Right.
And everything's going to the water. So that's a general idea of knowing.
Right.
Right? Now, how much, how little, right? Do you plumb bob? Do you, you know, viewpoint, whatever.
Oh, the game within the game.
You know, which one do you use? You know, which, right. However you figure it out is your thing. But I'll use the caddy as a local knowledge guy.
Aside from Lakeside and Port Valley, is Pebble your favorite course, or what's your favorite course?
It's definitely one of my favorites. Yeah. Definitely, I love going up there and playing.
It's heaven.
Yeah.
What's the craziest sort of, or like, what's the most wild? You know, because I do adventures in golf. We play golf in strange places around the world. Where's the craziest place you've ever played golf? You're like Bel Air.
I played in India.
You did?
Yeah.
No
which
way.
Was pretty cool.
Dude, you're in a small club. Where did you play in India? Yeah,
I played in New Delhi.
Royal Delhi.
I played the
main Delhi.
New Delhi Country Club.
Yeah.
With the
brown relics all around it.
Dude, it was ancient. The tightest golf course I'd ever played in my life.
Oh, I want to go play there so
dude,
bad.
It was so tight. It was crazy. I've played in Abu Dhabi
in, but they wouldn't
and
let me
Dubai.
Play. That's like American golf,
which is yes.
Wait, you
yes.
played at like the Fazio course, Emirates,
and then I played at the Abu Dhabi golf club. So yeah. Those two, but pretty special when you're playing it there.
Pretty special.
And then I just did the Omega Masters, so I played up in Kranz, sick. Montana, Switzerland, which was pretty awesome. Also,
didn't you guys have weather there, or was that a different year?
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful when I played.
Yeah, you're like,
they might have had some weather at some point, but when I was there, it was beautiful.
My scorecard was fine. so many interesting things here. Were you there for was it Quincy Jones's house? The night that Fresh Prince.
Oh no!
Did you hear the story? Did Will ever tell you? Like,
I mean, yeah. I mean,
apparently it happened at a party.
Yeah, it was like Quincy at a party, and yeah. Will was there,
and like, we're doing the show.
And we got
sign
a great
the
idea, and yeah. You know, go anyway. In the other room, read the script, you know, kind of deal. And it was Benny Medina and Jeff Pollock were the creators of the show, and they had the idea and presented it to Quincy, and then they presented it to Will.
So, and then, how old were you when because America's Funniest Home Videos started coming out in...
Same time as Fresh Prince.
Right? Yeah,
it came out in 89. We started in 90. So it was the same season, same year, calendar year. But, yeah.
And so was it Bob... Who did it year one? Was it Bob Saget? It was Bob Saget.
Bob Saget did it.
And have you spent any time with Bob?
I've never actually spent... I mean, I think I've met him a couple times, but no, I haven't spent any time with him.
We've met a few times. He's pretty... well, anyway, he's not... He's different than you might
think.
He is
who he is.
He's different than you might think.
Yes.
But anyway, I mean, how crazy do you walk into work every day and reflect when you walk into the American Funniest Home Video set and you're like, how so, because you've straddled so many different things in your career now.
You know, I really do try to live in the present, right? Like, I'm not the dude who's thinking about the past.
Right.
Like, I don't really ever spend. I mean, I almost no time at all thinking about past. I think I'm very much in the present. And so I don't really do that. What I love is the fact that I go to work and I laugh. I get to go in and laugh every day that I'm at work. You know, when I'm doing my homework before going in and my kids are on my lap and we're watching the videos together, and that's you know, that's the true enjoyment there. That's the part that look back on.
Your work is you hang out with your kids and watch videos that you would probably just watch anyway.
Right, but I get to, but because I've got to do the voiceover for them, I've got to like watch them first so I know how the joke plays.
Right,
you know, and I get to do it with my kids on my lap. You know, they don't always want to sit on my lap. They might watch half the episode and then be out.
Right,
you know, but you know, their attention span ain't that long. But yeah, you know, at 5 and 3, that's not going to happen often. But they love to just kind of sit there and we'll all laugh together, and that's why America's Funniest Home Videos continues to be successful.
Yeah, you can't replace that.
Yeah.
Yeah. One bigger question is, like, because I try to think about, I mean, I feel like you might have already answered it, but, you know, we talked about the swing and the construction of the swing, but is there another, you know, reason that you sort of have devoted so much of your life to golf? Because, I mean, you got to really, like, you talked about the money a little bit, but the time.
Yeah.
Like the time, like if you look at all the time, like, and the way I look at it from my life is I have straight up devoted my life to the game. And I think I know why, but I don't really know. And I do know one thing though, whatever reason I may have is probably not forever. And it's definitely not true for everybody.
Right.
So do you have a
It's thing? Probably changed a lot. I mean, you were capable of giving up your membership.
Yeah.
Right. Like I could never do that.
Yeah.
Right. Like my passion and love and devotion to that game, I just simply couldn't ever give it up. Like, it, you know, I would go to the end of the earth to maintain and be able to do it. I do think about the amount of hours, and if I put that somewhere else, what would have happened? But every time I think about that, I always come back to the reality that would I be happy putting those hours elsewhere, right? Like, would I be that much more successful in my career if I'd have spent all those hours working on my career? Well, I always look back and say, wait a minute, I was so good at something, they wouldn't let me continue.
Right.
So it ain't about what I can do. It's about other people. It's about other people's control of you. And the reality is you have no control over that. So if I would have spent more hours working on something, would I have just been unhappy? I don't know the answer, but I believe that the decision that I made was the right one for me. That the decision to spend my time working on my game and doing that when I had nothing else to focus on was better for my overall life and my overall health and happiness than any other decision that I could have made.
I can't think of a question that I can ask you after that. That's a really good, that's beautiful, you know, especially because when you look at, you know, probably I would like to think that hopefully your involvement in the game, as the way I like to look at my involvement in the game, is not being the stereotypical golfer for myself.
Absolutely.
I would like to think that hopefully a few people would try it. Because now golf is different than when you started. It's
absolutely
a bit more polarized.
Completely different game.
Especially with our, you know, the financial thing changing, politics coming
absolutely
into play. A lot of people don't like golf.
Well, I think they don't like what golf represented, right? Not what it represents. And the game no longer is an elitist club. right? You have the first tee, right? You have ways for people who are underprivileged to be part of a game that is special. Don't get me wrong. It's still a privileged game.
Yeah.
But they've recognized that they've got to open that door, and they're doing it with open arms and without a fight.
Yeah.
Everybody in the game, whether they came from privileged or didn't, recognizes that they have to open that door to everyone. And they not only do it, they're happy to do it, and they want to do it, and they want to see people play the game that they love. Because anybody who truly loves golf gets that.
Right.
If you don't understand that, then you don't love the game.
Yeah.
If you love it, you want to share that with everybody.
You can't help it.
You want everybody to know that feeling.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that the game is in a it's in a good place. It's about to get better, I think, with all of the world. I think it's growing, and I think Tiger coming back just for this little period of time. Like, we don't know how much longer we gonna have, but what he did was he gave a passion back to the fan base that forgot how great he was. That 18th hole on Sunday at East Lake only showed how great he was to the game. And I think the perspective of this younger generation, they now understand it, not just from the history books, from looking back.
Not from being told.
They got to experience it.
Did you cry?
I didn't cry, but boy, I was happy. I was happy.
You saw him cry, right? You saw him almost cry.
Absolutely.
That was big.
He had a...
Yeah. He was looking out over the plane window.
If I look at the sun, they won't blame me for my eyes watering. If I just pretend, but I mean, you know, the idea of what he went through to get there, you know, to get all the way back to the finish line, was special. It was special for the game. It was special for people like myself who are fans of the game, fans of Tiger. But I was equally happy that my boy Justin Rose became number one in the world the same
love
day.
Love Rosie.
Right? Like, Rosie and I are buddies. I talk to Rosie all the time and give him the love. And so it was like a very special day because it was two great things happening at the same time.
You know, I'm trying to end this, man. I'm trying to end this podcast. But you keep like... So Craig T. Nelson is one of my closest friends.
Yep.
And we met at the Power Shares a couple years ago. We got paired up together. And he's taught me a lot in my life about a lot of things. And... I told him that this is about a year ago. I was at his house. We'd go to hang out every Sunday at his house, and I'd say, "Yeah, I just don't really like. I don't know. I have a problem with Tiger. I have a problem with Tiger." Well, I started playing golf 7 years ago, so I was post.
You were post Tiger.
Yeah, I was post Tiger.
Right.
And I was like, "I got a problem with Tiger," and he was like, he sort of squinted at me, and he was like, "What's your problem with Tiger?"
Yeah, I'm like, I'm interested now to know what. What could have been your problem with Tiger?
I think I made a friend with you, and then I lost a friend.
No.
Just in this 1 hour.
Because I think you're saying you had.
I've changed my mind.
That's why I think we're good still.
I've now seen the sun, right? I cried when he won. And I hated, I had a problem with him because I judged his personal life.
Right.
And I know a lot of other people did and a lot of other people who...
My wife did.
I don't know. That's what I was going to ask. Did you or did you know anybody? I would assume your wife did.
Yeah. She hated Tiger.
And what do you do with that? Because you're watching TV on Sunday and you want to tell your son about him.
Man, I'm watching Tiger. You don't like what I'm watching? Go in the other room. Yeah.
There are many Tiger. TVs in this house.
We got 17 TVs, bro. Okay, I got a wall full of TVs. If you don't like what I'm watching, you can go somewhere else. I'm watching Tiger. You say what you want to say.
But when you're in bed at night and you're going to bed, and she's like, "How do you deal with it? Do you have a way?"
Here's my reality, and I've said this, and she understands this. I think now she just does it to rib me a little bit, but I'm like, do you feel like everyone has a right to our personal life?
Yeah, okay. No.
Because I'm a public figure too, right? Like, if I say something, I haven't, but if I did, and people want to attack me for it, you know who I am.
Mm.
Whether I'm a good guy or not, it doesn't matter. It's my life. It's not my job. My job is what you get, what he does, you know, Thursday through Sunday. That's his job. Yo, he messed up in his personal life.
And he would agree.
I mean, he's the first to agree.
And in some ways, it makes him
the first to agree. But
he was the third or fourth.
He hasn't fully acknowledged it, but we won't digress. But it's not why I like him.
It's actually, but it, for me, it is why I like him now. Because I've made a lot of mistakes in my life that are huge, that I regret, whatever. But I can see now have ultimately led me to a place where it's like, oh, wow, I have learned so much, got that out of the way. And now when I look at Tiger, I see a guy who's like way more compelling.
Oh, well, there's no question there. He is the most interesting time in his life is right now.
Right now.
Like, he has changed David. The way we see the game and the way we see him.
We can say hello.
Like, what's up, baby?
We're in his office anyway.
But we'll
be done in a second.
But that's the change, yeah. Right? But realistically, go ahead. Realistically, what it is that it's, I loved him for what he did on the golf course.
Yeah. That's it.
It had nothing to do with his personal life. I don't know his kids. I ain't know his wife. I don't know their relationship. I don't care.
Right.
I just want you to be great on that golf course. I want you to entertain me.
Yeah.
Just like I said, we all do. We're all entertainers. Entertain me. And you know what? There was nobody better at entertaining on a golf course than Tiger Woods.
Well, you've entertained me and my mom and dad listening to the podcast, and hopefully a couple other people. I really appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
Eric, thank you.